You know, I'll never forget my first day at Sky High. Your grandfather finally trusted me enough to give me the key to his secret sanctum. Of course, in those days, we still used keys. Go ahead, son. I already added your biometrics this morning. Oh, well, one thing. Of course, you must never, ever bring anyone into the secret sanctum. That's why it's called the secret sanctum.
We all know how that went.
That's not foreshadowing at all.
I like my foreshadowing like I like my women. In my face.
Whoa!
Welcome to Exposition Street, celebrating geek movies in all their splendiferous glory. Thank you for joining us this lovely weekend. We are at the very end when recording this. We're at the very end of 2020. So we're not going to see another 2020 weekend, guys. This is it. This is exciting news. I just want to share this moment with you. Breathe in and out through your mouth. No, not into the microphone. No, breathe out. That's fine. Gonna go ahead. My name is Eric. I am your host. Gonna go ahead and introduce the panel for today. Over here to my left, arm stronger than you. That's Inside Joke Man. Hashtag Inside Joke Man. I've got Rich. How you doing?
I'm all right and kind of impressed.
Wait, who cast Poison Ivy in this cartoon? Hashtag don't piss off the redhead. It's Vanessa.
Hi, I love it.
I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you kids and your stupid guinea pig. I got Jason.
Hola.
And our very own Royal Pain taking up the rear. It's the kid.
Oh, really? That's what I get? Hello, party people.
And this is Sky High, episode number 21 of our filmcast, our Prismatic Tsunami filmcast. So I want to go ahead and let you know, if you've never tuned into the show, we try to do this every week live on Twitch. I want to mention at the top of the show, because I often forget to. We usually do it on a Saturday afternoon. There may be some, you know, moving schedule stuff because we have holidays right now. And in a couple weeks, tax season starts up and we got like tax people in the cast. So you just got to work with us here. But we try to do it 2:00 Central Time, Saturday afternoons. And we'll do our best to let you know on social media if it changes. If you like, feel free to join us on our Discord server. I'll make sure the link is in the show notes for this. And that way you can keep up with updates and schedule changes and everything. And comment on the show. Send us messages. Let us know what you want. Let us know what you'd like us to cover. If you got a movie you'd like us to talk about, we're more than happy to take requests. We might ignore you, but we're more than happy to take them. And we'll even read your emails on the air, maybe even if we ignore you. That's how much we like you. So let's go ahead and get started for today. I want to say right out of the gate, I picked this movie with a little joy in my heart. We actually tried to schedule this one out of ways because we had to wait until it was available on streaming. And Disney Plus finally got it on like December 5th, I think it was.
Yeah.
And originally we had tried to schedule it like too soon in December. And it turns out that we would have had the show actually being recorded the day after it was released. We were like, oh, so that gives everybody, you know, like 20 hours to watch it. No big deal. Yeah, nothing, no problem. But it didn't work out that way. So we moved it to a little later in the month and we had some delays. And at least we still made December, I guess. But I've been super excited about this show. It's not the best movie ever. It's certainly, I think, a fun movie to watch. What did you say about your Twitter there, Jay? You do live tweets.
Record
number tweets.
Record breaking. 74 tweets in a 100-minute movie.
Nice.
And some of those minutes were credits. So, ooh.
Nice.
I have one note, and I'm actually kind of nervous. It's going to be an unpopular one.
You know, you just got to work with it, man. Not a problem.
Let's. Oh, if I was nervous about unpopularity, I would just hang up my headset.
Too late.
You're not allowed to now. You're part of the cast, man.
Let's see. Sky High, released July 29th, 2005. I didn't realize it'd been that long ago until your tweet right out of the gate. Because I didn't read your Twitter, but I did see that one because it came in my email.
15 years.
Wow. Yeah, 2005. Ooh. It actually hit the box office at number 3 the weekend it was released. Made 14.6 mil that first weekend. It was number 2 behind Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which is also that old. 16.3 million. And that was Charlie's week 3. So, you know, it didn't even break that. And Wedding Crashers was actually number 1 still in its third week at 20 million that weekend. So, and, you know, all told, that's still a decently strong July weekend in 05, I think. So, you know, what can you do? Runtime of 1 hour and 40 minutes. it's rated PG. Set in an era where superheroes are commonly known and accepted. I love the way they give that qualifier at the beginning, like we didn't know. Young William Stronghold, the son of the Commander and Jetstream, tries to find a balance between being a normal teenager and an extraordinary being. Yeah, thank you, IMDb. Not the best summary.
No, not even close.
That's not even kind of what the movie is.
I don't think I watched that movie. I think I watched a different movie.
Directed by Mike Mitchell. Now, interestingly enough, I have a strong, I don't know if you guys caught it in my little intro there, when I said who put Poison Ivy in this cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is a freaking cartoon.
Yes.
You guys get that?
Dude.
It seemed like live action to me.
In my memory, for some reason, I remembered it as a cartoon. I started watching it. I'm like, wait, this is live action. No, is the same movie I was thinking of, but this is live action.
There are a lot.
How
of
am I remembering it as a cartoon?
And it's not even like, sometimes when we talk about that, we're talking about things they're doing like our stupid sound effects or things like that. It's not even that stuff. It's the things they do that don't make sense in a realistic world. Like when the gal freezes the two people on in the quad and they're still there like weeks later. Stuff like that. You know, this doesn't happen in a world where somebody cares about the children. So, you know, things like
this
that.
This is not a world where somebody cares about the children.
That's no joke.
This is not a world where somebody cares about the children.
The one that broke me was Jetstream carrying Commander in to fight the big robot, and she drops him, and he, like, does an up flip to go into the robot.
So bad.
And I was just like, so wait bad. A second. I actually had to pause and recollect.
All of the wire fighting style action was so bad. And it was intentionally that way. You could tell. Yeah. There was no hiding that.
Physics don't apply in a...
not at all.
Cinematic RPG.
It was very, very comic book style.
There were too many jokes surrounding physics then remove physics.
Even the big huge plot element at the end with the school falling.
Yep.
Yeah, that was the massive culmination of the, wait,
yep.
What? No, yep. No.
Wait, gravity affects this, but it doesn't affect everything else?
That's not how this works. That's how none of this works.
Your intro, Jason, was my very first thought at the end, was like, I would have gotten away with it too, not for you stupid kids and your stupid and guinea pig.
That would have been a good tweet.
Mike Mitchell, this will give you some clues. I looked up his directorial background, which he's done some things, but we don't know him from a lot. We know him from things like Deuce Bigalow, Shrek Forever After. He did like the fourth Shrek movie, the Lego Movie 2, not even the first one, you know, stuff like that. Written by Paul Hernandez and Bob Schooley, didn't do anything, you know. Music by Michael Giacchino, who, of course, that music is freaking wonderful. I love the music in this movie. So,
did well to build off of the feel of everything,
which had to be easy. I'm a composer. Oh, yeah. They say we're gonna do a dumb superhero movie. I'm in. There's no question about this. You give me a horn section, I will give you superhero music. That's all it takes, man.
Fair enough.
Starring the eponymous Mr. Kurt Russell. This is our first Kurt Russell movie?
I think so.
There was my note.
Go for it.
I actually did write down, I find it interesting that they choose the most overrated actor to play the most overrated character in the movie.
That was no coincidence.
No,
I thought you were going to be referencing Bruce Campbell.
They're cut from the same cloth. The only difference is
Bruce Campbell.
The only difference is that Bruce never broke the B movie world, and that's intentional.
That's true.
Oh, I just thought of a great tweet that I didn't tweet. This is my boom voice.
See, I told you this was going to be fun to talk about.
It's going to be really fun to talk about until Jason doesn't love me anymore.
You are Jason.
You are Jason.
Kid doesn't love me anymore.
Kurt Russell, I didn't bother like pulling up his IMDb and talking about the stupendous number of things that Kurt Russell has done. I was curious about whether or not he'd done anything we'd already talked about, but this is only our 21st episode. So
it doesn't look like it. I was just scrolling through it.
But I love Kurt Russell, and there's no good reason for it. You know, he's kind of a one note actor. He does what he does really well, but it's like this was a movie where they said, okay, Kurt, you know that normal kind of overacting job you do? We want you to amp that up just a tedge. You know, just overact, Kurt. It's no problem, right?
And he phoned in the exact same performance that he always does.
Well, except he didn't have that Jack Burton sensibility, you know?
He's not completely one-dimensional. He's two-dimensional. He's either upbeat, happy, snarky, or dark, gravelly, snarky.
Well, okay.
I must have missed the dark, gravelly, snarky.
Now,
Snake Plissken.
To be fair, I was going to say, there's a couple of examples of characters. Now, Snake still had a lot of snark. But if you ever seen, like, Soldier, where he had, like, no lines almost the entire movie?
Why dark, gravelly, snarky.
It was a grim character, but it was very deep. And he did a real acting in that. I think it's like the one role I've seen him in where I'd say, you know, he was really reaching because he was trying to convey stuff without getting to open his mouth much. But mostly he's a very vocal actor. He's very, very vociferous. And, you know, you look at him now. That's one of the things about Kirk. Now we're going to talk about him for 20 minutes. You look at him now, like he has Ego in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, for example, a couple years ago.
Again.
Same guy.
They wrote Kurt Russell as a planet.
Right.
They
even
named it Ego.
I'm going to submit that was probably in the comics.
It was, but that was beautiful.
But what I was pointing out was this movie was 15 years ago, and he still looks and acts the same. I mean, same dude.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's a total vampire.
He may have a couple of age lines now, but I think they'll do it like they'll play it up like when he plays Mr. Nobody in the Fast and Furious and stuff. He's supposed to have like a little age to him or something, but he still comes off of the same, you know. So I like him though. Kelly Preston was in it. Sadly, she died this year actually, breast cancer. Mrs. John Travolta. But I've always liked Kelly. She hasn't done a lot of stuff that we'd really talk about, but I think that she was a good choice for this. She was an interesting choice for this. I mean, it could have been done by another actress just as easily. It wasn't like a particularly unique role in that regard, but I thought she was a nice foil for Kurt. They worked well together, worked off each other well.
Yeah, definitely.
Come on, get to it.
Michael Angarano as Will Stronghold. Do we know this kid from anywhere? Did anybody look this up? I tried.
I've never seen him before or since.
Oh, he's in several things that I like. There was the Jackie Chan movie where he gets transported to Japan or China or something. It's a kung fu flick.
I'm not sure.
It was so much fun.
I'll say what I recognized him from was I can't remember which premium channel it's on, but he's on a show called The Nick. It covers 1900s hospital. He's still about the same height as he was in Sky High.
Still look about that age. Oh, he was in Forbidden Kingdom? Oh, I saw that.
He was the kid in the Forbidden Kingdom.
I saw that. I think I saw it in theater, actually.
And then there was another thing that I knew him from that I went, oh, that.
But, I mean, yeah, he had a generally kind of, you look at him and you think, I've seen this kid somewhere. Yeah. And that's as much as I could really make of it. It wasn't like, you know, he doesn't have that unique, seriously.
He also hasn't really aged much in the last 15 years. He has a beard now, or at least he did in The Nick, and it fit his face well. But
good. Like so he's not Shia LaBeouf Perry.
No. His actual facial features could be the same guy. Like, same age.
Oh, the other thing I knew him from was The Lords of Dogtown.
Oh, yeah.
He was one of the skater boys in The Lords of Dogtown.
Gosh. Danielle Panabaker played his sidekick, Layla. And her, I know from somewhere, because she played Caitlin Snow in The Flash TV series. And so she's been in the Arrowverse stuff. She's Killa Frost. And I'm looking at Jason's eyes. Yeah, it really gets you. And I was like, I saw her in this, and I thought, God, I've seen her somewhere more recently. And she does look different because she looks more mature now.
She looks so different. I didn't even think, hey, I think I've seen her somewhere recently. I was just like, no, I don't know this person at all.
I love her, though. And I liked
her. She was great.
I liked her character. She came off in a lot of ways. I mean, given the fact that it's a teen movie kind of thing, she came off in a lot of ways as a more believable character than Will did. But she was a good foil for him. And the other main characters I got on the list are Stephen Strait, who played Warren. And I would have told you at the time I hadn't seen him do anything else. And at the time I probably hadn't. But now I've seen a bunch of him the past couple of years because he is pretty much the lead character on The Expanse, which is one of my favorite sci-fi television shows.
He has the best character name in the entire movie, though.
Oh, yeah.
Warren P.
I have the best character name in the entiretum of... entiredom.
Yeah. In fact, I have the clip where he comes up, and that was what I named the clip was best villain name or best comic name ever or something like that.
Yeah, it's awesome.
parents are on two different sides. War and Peace is a perfect name.
Yeah, he could very well be both a villain and a hero.
Yeah, and I loved
his character. The name works both ways.
I loved his character arc in this. I liked his character.
Anti-hero, even better.
Anti-hero.
He was one of the only people in the entire movie that I actually liked.
Right. He was definitely one of my favorite things about this movie.
Yeah.
Definitely.
This, at least on the hero side, he was a better person.
I agree. And I liked the reality of his portrayal in the movie because they made him so kind of comic booky, villainy bad in the high school when you first meet him, and then when you see him like at work, he's so like, you know, real. Quiet, real.
Yeah, oh yeah, working dude. My job, bro.
It was fabulous.
He's working a job, bro. Fabulous. Yeah, this is yep. great. And even when he was talking to Will, like late in the movie, you know, mm-hmm. and Will sitting there at the Chinese restaurant, he's like, "Hey, dude, what?" You know. And then Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who played Gwen or Royal Pain, kids alter ego. Mm. Ramona Flowers and Scott Pilgrim is where I knew her from, probably most significantly. She was Mary Todd Lincoln in Abe Lincoln versus the Red Book Vampire Slayer, rather. So I'd seen her in a couple things, but nothing that really kind of stood out at me, except maybe this, I guess, because she was kind of the villain. Well, she was the villain. But she, you didn't know she was a villain for
half. I was just looking at her IMDb, and what I recognize her from is 10 Cloverfield Lane, but I can't imagine many of you would have seen that because it's kind of horror
adjacent.
Horror adjacent.
You know, speaking of that, Kid and I watched New Mutants last night.
Oh my God.
I enjoyed that thoroughly.
That's worth watching if you haven't. If you're and it's not horror. I thought it was.
I almost didn't see it because it was advertised as a horror. But it's actually horror adjacent.
And it had more, I'm okay with horror. It had more Marvel-ness to it than I expected from the trailers. You know, just
right. The trailers made it look like it was going to be a straight up horror movie.
And like ignoring everything else and shit.
I was so happy with it.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it was good. One quick credit before we move on from credits.
Yeah, absolutely.
Patrick Warburton.
Oh my God. Come on.
I got him at the bottom of the list.
As the voice of Royal Pain.
You got to learn how to jump on shit, man.
No, I'm still waiting for the credit that I've been waiting for since you started the credits.
All right. We could roll through.
Are you talking about her?
Of course I'm talking about her.
We could roll through. Hang on to it, guys. We could roll through the rest of the cast here and do what Jason Lovely referred to a couple weeks ago as Eric reading the IMDb page for 25 minutes. Or we could talk about the movie and bring people up as they come up. I'm good either way. If you want to, we could touch on the people that you guys want to touch on. We've already mentioned one or two of them.
Touch on the principal.
Powers, because you. That's totally a good name for a principal of a superpower high school.
So, well, that Linda Carter just has a place in my youth.
Thank you. No more sublime casting choice for this movie than Linda Carter.
Oh,
so
Linda
brilliant.
Carter as not the Wonder principal Woman. Of Sky High.
I was so happy when I saw her. I did not know she was in the movie, and as soon as she came on the screen, I lit up like a freaking Christmas tree.
Me too.
And she does that to you, you know. And that's really great that she still has that effect now, you know. I really think when you look through, because the casting director had to have a field day with this. I mean, we've got a couple of kids in the hall. Dave Foley and Kevin McDonald are both in it.
It's a high school. Of course, there were kids in the hall.
But, not what I mean. the kids in the hall. Kids in the hall. Dave Foley.
Kids in the hall.
He's one of my favorite people in comedy. Just he's so dry, funny, you know.
Which
really
one was
good.
He?
He played Mr. Boy.
The sidekick. Oh,
gotcha.
The teacher.
All-American boy, Mr. Boy. Gotcha. I'm here.
The best part about that was they said, now I'm just Mr. Boy. And then at the end, when the commander and Jetstream are leaving and he's shaking his hand and they're giving, you know, talking to him and stuff. He says, Jonathan. He calls him Jonathan, which means his name is John Boy.
I totally missed that. That's beautiful.
Bruce Campbell, of course, we already mentioned him. Coach Boomer, really great casting choice, obviously, there. You couldn't have done better.
Yeah.
Kevin McDonald was Mr. Medulla, the mad scientist. And again, he's another. Ooh. I wanted to catch so some good. Of his lines, and none so of them were good. Really good at just audio.
No.
It wasn't. Yeah. No. He wasn't particularly funny in his lines. He was funny in his performance. You
the
know.
Portrayal was quirky. Really good, but the lines themselves.
It was so dry.
Yeah.
But it was so Kevin McDonald. It was absolutely Kevin McDonald.
No, yeah, yeah.
One of my tweets was, oh, this is a Kids in a Hall movie. It makes so much more sense now.
Brain Candy Part 2.
Legit.
Actually, after the first movie, this is exactly where everybody thought we were. Cloris Leachman showed up as Nurse Specs. She was
beautiful. That's why she looked familiar.
Yeah, it's Cloris Leachman.
She did such a good job. It was really just that one scene, but oh man.
And I loved that scene.
It was fabulous.
You think I'm going to be the one that calls and tells
Commander
that his kid doesn't have powers?
I did look. Not realize that was Cloris Leachman.
She does that look so well.
Yeah.
And Jim Rash, who I really like. He was Mr. Grayson. What do they call it? What did she call him? It was he raised Royal Payne. So he was the
daddy's little girl.
Damn, you stole the line. I got that clip. Yeah, that guy. Now you have to look it up to see what they called him. They had like a alter ego name for him.
Stitches. Yeah, it was Stitches.
Jim Rash, if you've never seen Community, I can't really recommend it because although it is a great show, it is not a good show. Community is really hilarious, but it's full of really terrible people. So unless you enjoy that kind of comedy, not great. But he was the principal in Community, or the dean, rather. I think that's what they called him, was the dean. And he is so, so over the top, flaming fun. Flaming over the top fun. That's the way I want to put it. Budget of $35 million. Opening weekend, they made $14.6 million, grossed $63.9 in the U.S., $86 worldwide. I'd say they probably made their money back. Sky High was a unqualified success. That's all I got, guys. You guys have anything you want to talk about?
Oh, do we?
Oh, there's so much to talk about, but let's. I don't know how we want to go into it.
Well, who wants to give us something? I mean, we could talk about the story, but why?
I didn't think it was possible for there to be a more dangerous, less care about the sanctity of childhood school than Hogwarts.
Good point.
Oh.
Until I saw this movie.
Wow.
See that?
That's a good one.
That's spot on, dude.
They say early well in the movie, it's like, we don't care if you are going to eventually use your powers for good or bad. We're only here to teach you your powers. And
yeah, I found that interesting. But they didn't really shy away from the fact that some people here had a very villainy kind of attitude. We're not here.
They're training villains as well as superheroes.
They're training villains and heroes, so of course everybody's at a stalemate all the time. They had the same educational background.
But I'm talking about, like, the fact that the teachers were straight up abusive, and the students were really inappropriate with each other, and nobody got in particular trouble for it, and it's just, it's bad.
It actually gave me flashbacks to boot camp from Starship Troopers.
Medic!
It legitimately did, and I loved that.
It is very comic booky in that regard, of course. I mean, in a world where there's just so no real consequence, it feels like.
Hey, one of my notes was from fairly early in the movie when, before we even get to the school, when Mr. Stronghold is, they hear the cell phone ring, and the mom goes to answer her phone. He says, no, it's this phone. And then he goes into like full comic book mode because he has the head move and everything and the reflection in the glasses. I immediately shifted into okay comic book movie. I'm in this mode now.
Yeah,
but they really did take the whole high school coming of age story and turn it up to 11.
Oh yeah,
that's what they were doing that whole the high school not caring,
which is what made it fun. Otherwise, it would just been another bad high school movie.
Bad high school.
The fight in the cafeteria really
nailed it.
Yes, because there was so much potential for collateral damage and casualties.
All that
and
fire being thrown
and
around.
Everyone's just all, ooh, this is exciting. No one's all, run for your lives. People are dying here.
It seems like they're used to that.
Yeah, but you never see it outside of that one scene. Like,
because you're not supposed to use your powers outside of the gym.
You're not supposed to use your powers outside the gym. That's right. That's exactly right. But like Coach Boomer, you know, throwing kids against walls and
car.
I almost used that as my intro clip.
That's another one. He can call a car at a split second notice, but he can't turn off the lights for Zach.
Well, he was ready for cars.
He didn't care.
Yeah, I think that was the message there, was that he had nothing but contempt for sidekicks.
Classist stuff in this school.
This is super classist.
Obviously was, and that was way over the top. Was terrifying. Mm. You know, especially with contemporary sensibilities, you look at this and go, we have magnified the kind of the jock geek problem to, oh, everybody's either cool and well-loved or not, and the school supports that 1,000%.
It was almost as blatant as my high school. Almost.
Okay.
And you want to know where it gets worse? The whole plot of the movie wraps around that, to the fact that 30 years ago or so, they thought that geeky powers weren't actual powers.
Right. Yes.
So she got put in sidekick class, even though she was an amazing technomage.
Yeah. Something that would 30 years later actually be a pretty important power.
Now it's a super awesome power, and she's one of the top of the class, and she's the class president and everything like that. But the first time she went through school, they treated her like a creep, and they didn't understand anything about it. She was just a science girl.
And we've had the whole movie to see how second class citizen hero support really is. You can only imagine it would have been worse 30 years earlier.
Oh yeah.
And I love the dichotomy too, because it's like she went through all this schooling back in the day, was registered as a sidekick even though she had an awesome power, was treated poorly, tried to do terrible super villainy things, got taken down. Okay. Comes back however many years later, like I said, and she's like super popular, super successful, super good. And she doesn't just take that as, oh, I got to do high school again, and this time it freaking worked. Instead, we're still going to do the super villain thing and try to make everybody pay.
She didn't make everybody pay. She specifically made the adults pay. The adults that treated her like crap the first time.
That's good.
But she treated all of the other kids like crap during the process.
She treated the sidekicks like horrible.
But she enlisted some of the other bad guy kids, hero bad guy kids, I would assume.
Recruited. Yeah.
But the only people that she actually used the pacifier on were the adults that had treated her like shit previously.
Okay, who had the coolest powers?
Oh.
Who had the coolest powers?
Yeah, who had the coolest
Layla. Powers? Layla. Layla's power was awesome.
I knew Vanessa would go there.
Well, yeah, she was amazing. Although, she also kind of pissed me off.
Yeah.
Because she's so, so self-righteous. And it's just like, I don't believe in using my powers outside of necessity. And I don't believe in this. And I don't believe in that.
I didn't say she was the coolest character. She has the coolest power.
For the whole movie. And then she gets to the end, the big fight, the big culmination. And she's like, no, I refuse to use my powers for violence. The girl walks up and goes,
smacks her across the face.
Yeah.
Just barely taps her face. It wasn't even like a punch or something. She's just like, bing. She's like, oh, you done f***ed up now, Aaron.
Mario coin that.
Yes, Mario coin.
And but no, that's the thing. Loses her mind and her moral compass.
She doesn't kill anyone, and she barely hurts them. She ties them up in vines.
But she does.
But it
she
was still that
stands weird on that principle of not using it unless she needs to. But then she comes over and she just whoop. Hey, I'm using the tree to get up on your roof. Woo! Here we go. Yeah, that was necessary.
It was still cool.
Are you saying
it
that
was
she's
cool?
A hypocrite.
It was just hypocritical.
Yeah. Okay. Definitely.
Oh, she's super hypocritical.
But make lemons.
Since you brought up the cafeteria fight and we're still talking about cool powers, I have to say one of my favorite powers in the movie was Penny's.
I did like Penny's power. I didn't find it super useful except for in the very specific instances that she used them for the duplication.
But that was a case of her not using her power to its fullest extent, because that is actually an amazing and incredibly powerful power that she just used
the
as
multiple man
garbage.
Thing.
Yeah, yes. The duplication, that's a great way to use cheerleaders, though. You only needed one person for an entire cheerleading team.
I am the cheer squad.
And I did check, or I did notice when the credits rolled, that Penny was twins.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So two of them were real.
There are two.
That's nice. I did not.
That made it easier to shoot.
That would give them ways they could shoot frames without having to do extra effects.
Exactly.
You just have one other Penny in the shot at the same time. That's kind of clever. That's really cool. Good and use of resources.
I loved the fact that War and Peace was a frigging awesome character with one of the most cliche and boring powers ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was so well done.
Except, of course, maybe for Wills.
Who is literally the most cliche and boring power.
Super strong, and I fly. Gee.
He's a culmination of his parents.
Which apparently isn't something that happens.
No, so. No, they kind of highlighted that.
Yeah.
In the list of options that the nurse gave him, getting both powers wasn't even mentioned.
Yeah.
That was not mentioned. You might get super strength, or you might be able to fly, or there's a very good chance that you will get nothing at all because you were you were the kid of two supers.
The bus driver. The bus driver was mentioned in that scene. I freaking loved Ron the bus driver.
Wilson.
Oh my god. Exactly.
Bus driver.
Exactly.
I forgot to put him in the cast list I had. I didn't know him from anywhere. I mean, again, he looked familiar, but
creepy giving your business card to a 14-year-old. Call me anytime.
But 15 years ago, though, he only gave that card to one person. It was the one person he had the most in common with, because he was also the child of two supers.
Super Troopers. He's from that group.
Super Troopers? Oh, he is, isn't he?
That's yeah. Awesome. I'm like, how did you not know who he was?
Because I tried to forget Super Troopers. Yeah,
I love that movie.
Never seen it.
It was unfortunately very entertaining.
It was a later day police academy.
Unfortunately entertaining. I kind of love that.
Think about how many things kind of fit that standard for you there. I loved the suits. The costumery was good. I thought that was very clever. Even when they weren't like costuming, they were doing things like Will, you notice like when he was like around his parents would always be wearing like colors that they wore mm-hmm. in their costumes. In
you
his
mean
regular clothes.
Red, white, and blue?
Red, white, and blue. And of course, All-American Boy's costume was red, white, and blue. And he mentioned in the class that it would be the hero that picked your costume.
Your costume.
I was going to say that about the hero thing, the classist thing. You remember, did you guys catch the hero sandwich thing?
Sidekicks are not allowed to order hero sandwiches, or have been requested not to order.
In the first scene, after Will is promoted to hero, you see him in the lunchroom. He's got a hero sandwich on his tray. Thought that was good.
That I didn't catch. I didn't realize he was eating a hero sandwich.
I can't claim it. It was in the trivia.
Evidently, I missed that because I don't know what a hero sandwich is.
It's a submarine.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Big
either.
Bread, lots of meat. Okay. Sub. It's a sub or a grinder.
Here's an obvious double standard for you. I thought this was funny that it was in the trivia. Kurt Russell's suit had a cooling system, a tube where iced water circulated. Kelly Preston's did not. Because it was a tad bit on the tight side. See. During production, this is probably no surprise, Michael Angarano, Will Stronghold, and Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who played Gwen, had a romantic relationship. The actors did. Also during production, Danielle Panabaker, who played Layla, had a romantic relationship with Stephen Strait, who played War and Peace.
Ha.
So some of that chemistry probably came through to how they handled the scenes. That was pretty good.
There was definitely chemistry in Layla with Warren. There was more chemistry with him than there was with Will and Gwen.
Yeah.
And there should be.
Yeah.
Because I'm sorry, this is another one of my I'm a grumpy old man, get off my lawn perspectives now. Will was a 14-year-old freshman. Gwen was the class president senior.
Yeah.
Ew.
Oh.
She doesn't. That's inappropriate, I think.
High school is the only time that matters.
Yeah, good call.
But it is. It is the only time that matters. If you're talking about a 4-year difference now, if I was with somebody that was 36, that's not a deal. I get that.
Right.
I would not say ooh to that. But he's a 14-year-old boy.
Yeah. I was about to say, because my husband is 4 years older than me, so I can't bash on age differences.
But if you were a 14-year-old girl,
you didn't meet him in 18, high school.
Then he'd be 18, and that would be bad.
Yeah.
In many states, that would be bad.
Well, but I'm saying the same. Yeah. It's just because it's reversed doesn't mean it's right. And mom was very inappropriate with things and kind of with – and on that point. You know, first when Layla comes over the first time, she's like, it seems like just yesterday that you were both swimming nude in the kiddie pool. Ooh, mom, stop. And then when Gwen comes over and da-da-da-da-da, and they send him off to the room, and she looks at dad and goes, and she's a senior.
Oh.
Ooh, mom, stop it.
My wife was like 2 years older than me in high school. So,
but no, I totally have to acknowledge your point, and I agree with you, but at the same time, it's played for comedy. So it's deliberate.
Yeah.
They're trying to kind of push that space into the slightly uncomfortable zone because that's funny.
There's several lines like
they
that.
They play too. Child abuse for funny. They play sexual, yes. they play, they play, sexual harassment as funny. They play this awkward relationship as funny. There's a lot of weird, bad things being played as funny. And there's only so far that they're funny.
Because inappropriate humor is one of the most commonly appreciated kinds of humor.
And the coming-of-age story only works if it's told from the perspective of the people in the age of coming-of-age. It does not work if you tell it with the sensibilities of an adult. These are motivations of people in high school as freshmen and what their thoughts are in the world, which is your thinking in your freshman year of high school is completely different than it is now.
Plus, I mean, it's a kid's movie. You have to give the adults that are taking the kids to the movie some reason to go.
to not be able to appreciate it.
But none of that is meant to invalidate your point at all, Jason. You are exactly right. You're spot on.
No, no, it's inappropriate. It's just from their perspective, probably less so.
And funny. Bear in mind that 15 years ago, our social mores were considerably less refined than they are now.
And that is that
for
is
better and
point.
For worse.
It's not. It was bad to begin with, changed. And it's aging worse.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I really feel like the reception of this movie at the time, I mean, I don't remember anything awkward about it, but there were a lot of these kinds of, because the teen comedy has seen so little actual evolution since the John Hughes days. You know, we've got a lot of kind of the same thing over and over and over again with different cloth played over the same tropes, because that's real. That's real. And a lot of it is uncomfortable or weird or awkward, because awkwardness is what makes teenagers teenagers, apparently. I couldn't appreciate teen movies when I was a teen because, you know, I couldn't relate to them. I wasn't that guy.
What was that spoof called?
Not another teen movie.
Not another teen movie. Yes. That is not even worth going into a discussion.
Why did we talk? We were talking about that one recently. Why were we talking? Oh, Chris Evans.
Chris Evans?
Yeah. We were talking about Chris Evans. Like, huh, not another teen movie. Well, do you want to move on to clips? We can just move on to clips.
We should, yeah.
It was about that time anyway.
We should move on to
clips. Okay. Clips it is. Right,
let's do some clips. Let's see. We'll start this off with Mom and Dad. Kind of roll out what the movie does. Well, I guess. Here we go.
The Commander and Jetstream. His super strength makes him pretty much indestructible, and she has the power of supersonic flight along with the total mastery of unarmed combat. By day, they live as Steve and Josie Stronghold, the top real estate agents in the metropolis of Maxville. But whenever duty calls, they are the Commander and Jetstream. Me, I have my own names for them. Mom and Dad. That's me in the middle. You look at them and see the defenders of the world. All I see is my dad wearing tights.
I like that line. So yeah. One of the things I loved about that is comic booky opening and closing sequences.
Yeah, definitely.
I thought those are good.
I like the comic booky opening sequence a lot better than I like the comic booky closing sequence.
Oh, really? I thought the closing was fine. What are you green grumpy about now?
Well, first off, whoever they hired to draw Will drew a 50-year-old man. The others did The others were pretty good. They kind of looked like kids. But the Will cartoon was not. And the other thing is, really going to condense a complicated relationship like was being brewed into my best friend is now my girlfriend.
Oh, come on.
My arch enemy is now my best friend. They put War and Peace from arch enemy to best friend in a prologue.
Yeah, epilogue. Yeah, that's the thing.
Or epilogue in a
closing.
You know
what, though? I would almost bet you they had that line written before they wrote anything else in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
That closing line was too good.
And what happened to Zach? I feel bad for Zach. He got usurped. If anybody was going to get promoted to best friend.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Poor Zach probably went home and glowed himself to sleep.
In the end, Zach was just a sidekick.
Oh, the family business.
I know that every kid thinks his dad's invincible, and I nearly am, but who knows? Maybe the next time I punch a meteor hurtling toward Earth, I'll be the one who shatters into a million pieces. I guess all I'm trying to say here, Will, is it's nice to know that whatever happens to me, you'll still be around to save the world.
Looking forward to it.
I love the idea, the horrendous idea that he is hiding the fact from his dad that he doesn't have super strength. And then his dad turns around and does thing like throws
the
300-pound weight at him or something. Here, don't forget. Yeah. I'm like, how many things could have simply gone wrong with that entire process?
Yay.
That's actually another one of the things that really pissed me off. How little supervision does this kid have?
Right, that they don't know.
If getting ready to go to his first day at Sky High, dad still genuinely believes that his kid already has his super strength.
Yeah, but he's been faking the weights on the weight stand.
And his parents have virtually two jobs. They do real estate and they're superheroes that don't think they're probably home very often. Just say.
Then use cameras or talk to the kid. You know, he's 14 years old.
They do not seem like super present
parents. He
should have a spotter
when he's doing that kind of weight training.
Not if he's super, super strong. I'm sure they don't feel that
in the beginning when they were training before he realized that he was super, super strong. He's not super, super strong.
Okay, so
he should have never gotten past having a spotter.
His dad, even with seeing the massive amount of weights on the stand, went, oh, low weight, high reps. That's the way to do training.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
his dad didn't realize it was a
that's
problem.
How
he really thought it was
his father is. And that's bad parenting.
I'm not saying that it's good parenting, and it's terrible parenting, but
it's
his parents are too
parenting.
Oblivious
That's another
to realize
thing that bothers me. Bad, bad parenting. Okay, move on.
Let's meet Layla.
Good morning, Mrs. Stronghold.
Morning.
I noticed you had some recyclables in the trash. I took the liberty of moving them for you.
Thank you, Layla. You hungry?
I've got plenty of eggs, bacon.
No, thanks. You know how my mom can communicate with animals? Apparently, they don't like being eaten. How about some juice? Great.
Oh, my God.
Okay, and I have to point this out, because apparently she is such a staple as his best friend ever since they were naked in the kiddie pool together that she can just walk into their house and everyone's like, hi, Layla, but they don't know that she's a vegetarian.
It's got to be a new thing. Yeah, got to be a whole new thing.
Yeah,
or they're just, like Jason was just pointing out, they're just that freaking oblivious, which is possible, because... Also, you know, it's no mystery that they have like a bunch of protein rich foods that's what they eat when, you know, yeah, the commander
is the head of the household. You know, there's going to be meat.
Right, right.
Absolutely. Oh, and I also like there was that cute little thing when the commander comes downstairs and he sees her and she's like, good morning, commander. And he's like, what? And
commander,
she goes,
is it?
Scratchy, scratchy. And he's like, oh, no. And he pulls his glasses out.
Oh, and like that's not foreshadowing too.
And then she's like, oh, hi, Mr. Stronghold.
Yeah.
Thus reiterating, when you put your glasses on, no one can tell, especially in the old yearbook photos.
Yeah.
That was totally a deliberate dig at Superman's costume as a pair of glasses.
Yeah.
Right.
Clark Kent's costume is a pair of glasses.
That's what you said.
Superman's costume is a red cape.
Greatest super villain name ever.
Okay, am I crazy or is that guy really looking at me? Dude.
What?
That's War and Peace.
That's War and Peace?
Yeah.
I've heard about him. His mom's a hero and his dad's a super villain. Baron Battle.
So where do I come in?
Your dad busted his dad. Quadruple life sentence.
No chance of parole until after his third life.
That's great. It's my first day of Sky High and I already have an arch enemy.
Now that was a very teenage line.
Yes.
Beautifully written.
Yes. And I have to point out that actually, since his name is Warren Peace, it's actually a completely possible normal name.
Yes.
There could be someone who has that name in real life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wouldn't surprise me at all, actually. Clever
and it's
parent,
actually a better real life name than almost everybody else's.
I know.
The alliterative, horrible real names that
which
are
is
so
a
common
comic
in
book thing. Yeah.
Comic book culture.
That's Stan Lee, actually. Stan Lee gave us that. He is 90% responsible for the alliterative names of superheroes.
So I called this process of elimination.
Car.
Are you insane? I don't have super strength.
Oh, I get it. You're a flyer, just like your ma. Why don't you say so?
Kid, come on. Quit messing around. I haven't got all day. What's your power?
I don't have one.
Yeah. I almost put it in there.
I was waiting for it.
And I thought, everybody's going to hate me. Because it was so loud.
And over the top.
Yeah. Sidekick.
Yeah. Bruce Campbell was really, really good in that
role.
You could tell he was having fun. Yeah. He was really enjoying himself. He was just there to have fun. That was great.
He does make a habit of playing horrible people.
But he plays horrible people so well.
I guess I'm gonna play this. Those big mouths are gonna get you into trouble. Or that big mouth?
Oh, you just think you're so big and bad, huh, Stronghold?
No,
please.
Don't.
Will totally take you.
You saw what happened to Warren? You want a piece of that?
You better watch it, Stronghold. If that big mouth is gonna get you in a lot of trouble.
I didn't say anything.
Why don't we settle this in PE?
Settle why?
You're on.
If Will beat you and save the citizen, you lay off of sidekicks for the rest of the year.
Yeah, and if he loses, you can dunk Ethan's head in the toilet every day till graduation.
Yeah.
Huh? You got yourself a deal.
Yeah. Huh?
I have to point out this was a terrible deal for the villains there because they were going to do that anyways, so they actually get nothing if they win.
Like they were going to not do the other thing. Right.
Well, they really, we don't see them harassing the sidekicks again after that. But that's probably because they were so humiliated by their loss at sea. Oh, can we talk about Save the Citizen? I loved that game.
Yeah.
Why did all of the grades have PE together? Like, everybody in the school was in PE at the same time.
Because they have to have an audience for Save the Citizen, I guess.
Well, and you have to figure, in a superhero high school, PE is going to be a pretty major course.
Pretty intense.
That's like 90% of the classes are going
to
be PE.
I think of it like a hockey match. They want to make sure there's going to be blood, so they have to have plenty of people that are surrounding you, too.
Like, they would have to dedicate, like, a day a week to PE for everybody. If they, with that sort of layout, though, because they were doing four people at a time. How many minutes?
You are really overthinking this.
Three. Just saying.
Really overthinking.
I'm good at overthinking things.
Well, speaking of overthinking, does anyone buy that no freshman had ever won Save the Citizen before?
No, not even a little.
I don't buy it either. I just...
Especially if you're allowed to pair with an older classman.
And...
Because Warren was apparently not a freshman.
Right.
Yeah.
We're only focusing on the sidekicks, but there were some heroes who were freshmen who had really kick-ass powers.
Larry
comes to mind.
Little Larry.
Larry at the party.
Big Larry.
Big Larry.
Again. Ew.
Do you really have to be a rock guy right now?
2-ton rock monster, yeah.
Well, did you see me when I'm not? Of course I do. This is how I'm a hero. Got some Clark in that there, Kent.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Remember her?
Hmm?
She was a weird one.
Oh, yeah. Sue Tenney. Disappeared right before graduation.
Yeah. Why is that?
No one ever really knew. Some say she was recruiting villains at the school. Others say she was smoking in the girls' room.
Nightmare. All right, now.
It was so like important, a little stupidly obvious plot point. They do it. The first foreshadowing was with you guys just mentioned with Layla and the glasses, you know, and then it's Sue's picture in the yearbook that looks exactly like Gwen with glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's finally when Will recognizes her later and puts it together and sees the picture of her with the pacifier.
And then goes to the back of the yearbook where she's holding the pacifier that has been in the collection
the whole time.
Somehow,
it's his prized possession, and he never looked at the yearbook and went, wait a second.
Yearbook that he... Well, he obviously missed that picture because he wasn't in it.
Because he didn't care about the science geeks, and he ignored them.
It was the sidekick section of the yearbook. They're lucky they had one. I mean, come on.
Right. Oh, and can... We've apparently skipped past, because I'm pretty sure this was after. Can we talk about the fact that he couldn't even remember his sidekick's name?
Oh, yeah. Well, God, I don't remember what the scene was, but yeah.
And that he... Well, the first scene was in the first day of sidekick class when he goes, I'm Mr. Boy. You may have known me because I worked for the command.
Never mentioned me? Yeah.
And he was like, He's like, you were with the commander? He's like, yeah, what's your name? Will Stronghold. You're Steve's kid? Yeah. And he never mentioned me?
Whoops.
What about your mom? Surely your mom And no, oh, didn't know. And then when he totally went home and he's like, so you had busy. you had a sidekick? And he was like, yeah, he was a great guy. Saved my life once. What was his name?
Oh, when they're in the kitchen. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. He's talking about how great sidekicks were. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. You know,
I'm so proud of you for bringing him home. If I'd brought it, I can't imagine how my father would have reacted if I'd even talked to a sidekick, let alone brought one home. Holy crap.
Yeah, there's a lot of classism in this movie.
The one great thing I can say about Will's character is that he never really fell for it in his head.
Mm-hmm.
He fell in lust with Gwen. You know, he's head over heels with that whole idea. But other than that, when he was faced with his father talk about these are sidekicks, he looked at his dad and said, "And I'm a sidekick too, and I'm fine with that." Because he was having
that
a great
was
time.
One moment.
And then when later on, when Gwen told him what she told Layla, he did not hesitate. I'm done. Not going to homecoming. We're done. I mean, he just completely broke it right then. When things were made plain to him.
She took it too far blatantly. If she had held on to just a little bit more subtlety,
maybe
she would have got him.
Maybe. Oh,
yeah. When they were just subtle, like, they said, you know, they can't sit here. He didn't go sit with them.
I think I'm talking about principles, though. You know, when his principles were clearly questioned, called into question in a way that he couldn't ignore, then he made the right choice.
In a way that he couldn't ignore.
The rest of the time, he was too smitten with the idea, first of impressing his parents, and then of impressing other kids at school, and then of impressing Gwen. He would be a high schooler, yeah.
He could have got up with his submarine sandwich and went and sat with his friends.
Now, that's absolutely true.
Yes.
He didn't.
He was sucked in right then and helpless. And you could see he looked a little helpless. He was trying to figure out in his head, am I doing this wrong? You know, but right. he wasn't brave enough to put that aside and just stand on principle.
And that is a high school movie trope.
Yep.
Yeah. That's exactly where I was going with that. Yeah. They were illustrating the same thing. You see it, you know, 1,000 times over, the power of social expectation on kids in high school age kids is a force that is too much to handle, you know, and who doesn't have some ability to relate to that from their own experience.
Now, most of us are 80s children ish. Do you guys like teen movies? Did you like teen movies? Do you have that in your background as something that you were really into?
I like coming of age movies a lot more now than I did when that was age appropriate.
I liked them better when they were age appropriate than I do now.
Really?
There's several of those coming of age movies that I liked when I was around or just out of high school that I don't like now.
Now, are you talking
like
about
Varsity Blues?
Okay, I was going to say, are you talking about the movies that were then, you don't like looking now looking back at them? Like if you watch them again now, you're not talking about newer movies that are made in the teen movie kind of genre.
Yeah, the newer ones I don't even watch.
Right, I wouldn't. Yeah, I don't think I have either.
Because we don't relate anymore.
Because I'm the grumpy old get off my lawn guy. I don't have any business watching current teen things.
It's weird. I didn't really get into that much when I was a teenager, but in my late 20s, I think I got into like the John Hughes stuff and the Rat Pack and things like Brat Pack. I mean, the Rat Pack. I was into that too. The Brat Pack, stuff like that. But I was also, my ex-wife was really into that stuff. So like the ones I hadn't ever gotten around to paying attention to, I did then. But I always loved like Ferris Bueller and Breakfast Club was a big one for me when I was a kid because it did a lot of like playing with the class
and when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And going, you know, the older coming of age stuff when I was a kid before high school and stuff.
That worked for you.
I loved those movies going into high school and even right around high school, and I've watched some of them since, and I'm like, too old now.
Two particular that I mentioned, I can watch again and again. Those ones are the only ones I think of that set.
I can't anymore.
I don't think I could watch like a Pretty in Pink or anything like that. 16 Candles.
Yeah, I can't.
And enjoy it.
Yeah,
St. Elmo's Fire
to
is even
now.
Boring, you know? It's like, and it's not really a teen movie. It was just that same sort of, you know.
I saw clips of Ferris Bueller, and I was like, oh my God, the principal's the good guy.
Right. If I have an urge to watch a teen movie, I literally just watch Not Another Teen Movie because it covers all my bases, and I get humor, and I get to laugh at the whole trope.
I've never
seen
that. And
you get whipped cream.
It pushed a lot more than the John Hughes thing. Oh, yeah, Varsity Blues, jeez. Which
was the first distinction of whipped cream.
Whipped cream, yeah. Was surprisingly good at its time. I was like, and I was older by then, so yeah. I'm just curious,
but yeah. So things like that. But even then, it's like the ones that I liked, I don't really like anymore because I don't see them the same way. They have to have more to them for me to like.
Like there are a lot of coming of age movies that I like, but most of them have more going for them than just it's a coming of age movie.
But most of us watched like Saved by the Bell at some point.
I've seen a few episodes. I know what people are talking about when they talk about it.
It was a little before your time.
I watched a couple episodes of the College Years one. Those were current.
See, I was a lot more a Revenge of the Nerds type, to be honest.
Which is actually always was a terrible movie. I saw it several times.
It really was.
I saw it a lot of times.
They made sequels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I watched them all.
Yep. Yep. Well, I mean, all. Jeez, they got really bad after a while.
They did. They kept getting worse.
Revenge of the Nerds 17, Nerds in the Drawer. I don't know. It's like, I mean, they're just kind of wherever they can put them now. I got some obligatory uncles because I felt like I had to.
Homecoming, the greatest collection of super teens ever gathered to dance under one roof. And then we shall have our revenge. There's only one thing we're missing.
King Kamehameha surfboard.
Storm this joystick!
All right, the pacifier. Hey, smooth move on the joystick.
That's why Jim Rash was hired for that part.
His voice did work so well. I loved it.
Oh my gosh.
I do love the fact that when he's out of costume, talks like.
Yeah. That's weird because the that Jim Rash that you talk about there, not Jim Rash. I mean, I've never seen him act like that. And I've seen him and he's more like Stitches. Definitely closer to that.
You're not the one with the six arms, are you?
That was funny.
Just the two. Keep them to yourself.
All right, I got
such a good scene. It really was. I wasn't sure that was the same guy, to be honest.
Yeah. I got a few good ones. That was the point, obviously, at that point, because you weren't supposed to be sure yet, because you didn't yet know that Gwen was the... Everybody had seen this movie already, right? This wasn't a first viewing.
Yeah.
Yes, I saw it way back when.
It's hard to remember whether or not there was any kind of real clue to that the first time that I caught.
I don't think so.
Beforehand or anything.
I saw it, and I still barely remembered that was the point.
Yeah.
And I was like...
Same with me.
Okay. But
I have to say, that was a much better disguise than a pair of glasses.
Yes.
Took off the stupid armor. Go figure. Let's see. Zach's hero moment.
Oh, good God.
Where the heck are we?
Hey, Warren, how about a torch?
Only if you want to get barbecued.
Ladies, if I may.
Then all the reindeer loved him.
Way to glow, Zach.
Thanks, man.
Way to glow, Zach.
I have to point out, his power had a sound effect.
Yes.
Don't all powers have sound effects? Mm.
Couple things.
His power is a glow.
Yeah. Actually, it's not. I'm going to dispute that here in just a second. But first, I'm going to say that was the best line in the movie. Then all the reindeer loved
him. Yeah, that she sang that.
Yeah.
That's so good.
And That's why I included the clip. Yeah, that was the best line in the film, hands down. But if you really watch, he didn't glow.
I noticed his clothes glow. And even then, it seemed almost to come from the inside of his clothes.
It was because it was a more practical effect.
I understand that, but
they blew all their budget destroying
his
cafeteria.
Green clothes glue, but his other clothes didn't glow so much.
Is glue a word?
It wasn't like his face and his arms and his hands.
His power seemed to be that he made his clothes fluoresce.
Okay, but yeah. Anyway, wow.
Monologuing.
She has to plan. So daring, so visionary, to start her very own supervillain academy and raise a generation of heroes from scratch as villains. But first, she had to destroy the very institution that dared to spurn her genius. And now, so many years later, that plan is complete. My only regret? That this may be the finest supervillain speech ever given. And you don't even know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
but I do.
All right, Jason.
Does she remember all of these trauma, or was it Stitches telling her stories about her high school trauma? Because if she does remember the trauma, then when all of these superheroes get old enough to do anything, they're going to look at her and go, "We're freaking heroes. Leave us alone. You're horrible."
She probably figures she has a couple years before that's an issue.
Right. But the whole point of her plot is to raise superheroes into villains from scratch and have this army of supervillains that used to be heroes.
I have to say,
if they don't remember the past, then why is she so hung up on it?
Good question.
I have a lot to comment on this, but it needs to wait because that's like half of my entire closing thing right there.
Okay. Awesome. I'll hold off on that then.
Daddy's little girl.
No one could defeat Royal Pain. When the pacifier exploded, I wasn't destroyed. I was merely turned into a baby. Stitches took me away and raised me as his daughter.
Daddy's little girl.
I told you never to call me that!
Lunatic.
That's right. Royal Pain wasn't my mother. Royal Pain is me!
Oh my God. I mean, I was an old lady.
That's his takeaway.
Yeah.
That's my tweet.
Yep.
That was my tweet. That's his takeaway from this.
Because 4 years is okay, 30, not so much.
But she wasn't 30.
17 she years, whatever.
She
was a baby,
she got older.
Right.
So she was 17 years older than him, whatever. Or 20.
So good.
Well, she would have been, because it was right before graduation.
So she was a senior then again.
And so, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Let's see, 18 times 2, carry the 4.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
Divided by 4.
I didn't know how to feel about this one. Those cute little legs.
Hey, what about this condom?
Yeah, right. You'd have to be like a rat to fit in there.
Oh, great.
This is so stupid.
Okay, you're doing great, Magenta. Looks great.
What about those cute little legs?
His cute little legs.
I so loved Magenta.
They have a cute little mini romance through the entire movie, though.
She was one of the more fun characters in the story, too. I mean, she was a little screen time she got.
You want to dance? Nope, neither do I.
To be fair, the sidekick characters.
Hero support characters.
Good choice, good casting.
Oh yeah,
I really loved their deliveries. They felt
they
awkward,
were good people,
and weird,
they
and
were
good.
Supposed
yeah,
to.
They were right? good people. I liked them. Well, heroes are supposed to be good people, and they weren't. None of them, any of them, all horrible, horrible people. They were assholes and jerks and horrible people that didn't care about anything except making more heroes. Bad. Bad, bad, bad.
Are you including the principal in that?
Actually, to a certain extent, it certainly seemed like she didn't have a whole lot of care for what was happening to anybody. And if the frozen kids were still frozen 2 weeks later. Now, I'm still not exactly sure if that was still or again.
Good point.
But
that didn't even occur to me.
I'd have to actually look and see if the clothes matched. But the stuff that was allowed to happen in her school on her watch, you know, professors shooting kids with frost beams, breaking kids' ribs by throwing them into pillars and booming them off of the campus. The stuff that the teachers were allowed to do and get away with, yes, I put that on the principal. She's just as responsible as the rest of them.
If not more so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fair to recognize that in the way the school actually works, the principal has a lot to do with the tone of the school.
Oh, yeah.
With the way things roll. So
yeah, ultimately, they have responsibility for everything.
Yeah.
That's
And she is obviously, from that perspective, she is actually obviously perpetuating that classist sort of dynamic that is classically part of the school environment at this point and has suffused itself into their superhero society, which we have to assume is still somehow separate from regular society because they're not regular people. Speaking of principal powers.
What a waste. I can't do anything more to help.
I'm not Wonder Woman, you know.
I went through puberty twice for this.
And in my wife's opinion, that is actually the best line in the movie.
To be fair, she didn't like any of the lines in the movie.
No, actually, she may have given this movie a lower rating than you're going to, Jason. I'm waiting to see what you give it to say for sure. But I wasn't allowed to watch it again where she can see it because she's never, ever going to see this movie again.
Yeah.
Wrapping it up.
The rest of the year was pretty boring. Gwen and her gang got what they deserved. Now nobody wants to save the citizen. Relax, I'm just kidding. But they are getting to spend a lot of quality time together. Oh yeah, and Ron Wilson's bus driver fell into a vat of toxic waste. He now works for the mayor defending the city from giant robots. So in the end, my girlfriend became my arch enemy became my best friend, and my best friend became my girlfriend. But hey, that's high school.
There you go.
Love that song.
Sky High.
There was a music video that came out for that song about the same time the movie launched, and it was a good music video.
That's why. That's why. The music in the movie, they did a lot of that. They had I assume it was all in the credits because I don't remember hearing a bunch of it during the movie, but there was a bunch of pop music covers of 80 songs, you know, of artists that were big then. So I really felt like they did a great job on the music in the movie. Both the orchestral compositions, Michael Giacchino was great.
And the soundtrack.
And the soundtrack, yeah. So good
love
stuff.
The soundtrack.
I actually meant to stop and look up what all was there because there were a lot of them that we heard at the time. But we were talking about Not Another Teen Movie earlier, which was also a kind of a teen spoof. And they did the same thing. They did a bunch of 80s movie, the 80s songs that they got contemporary artists to record. Like Marilyn Manson did a version of the, the song just went away. I had it in my head. Tainted Love.
Oh, yes. That was fabulous.
Tainted Love. Yeah. I mean, it was great.
His version's better than the original.
That isn't hard to do. So that's what I got on. I felt pretty good about it, though. I had a good time with the movie. I'm curious to see what you guys are going to say. Thumbs up, thumbs down, Rich.
All right. Honestly, I had a hard time finding a thumbs down in this. I know. In the end, I landed on the idea that Sky High was totally neutral in power training, that it didn't have a stake in using the powers for good. I felt that was a disservice to superherodom. I get how it made the plot advance and kept everything in a neat little package. Didn't like it. And I think the story could have still played well and still had the school cited.
Better, thumbs maybe, up. Actually. Better. Because her whole plan was about raising superhero villains. You know, I mean, that makes sense in a place where the other school is otherwise supposed to raise heroes. Think about
right,
it.
Yeah, right. Right. Anyway. Exactly. Thumbs up. I really love the whole theme of taking the black and white division of heroes and sidekicks and making it clear that the line between is not a hard and fast line. And that was one of the big story points. So I'm just going to use that as my thumbs up. Overall, if you like supers movies and high school coming of age plot lines, this is a great movie choice. I found the effects immersive, the sound on track, and the imagery is solid. I am giving this 4 stars.
Nice. Nice. I do have to say, too, one of the things we didn't really talk about because it doesn't feel overly applicable, but we live in the comic book renaissance now. I mean, over the last 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, we've had we've been deluged with quality comic book based entertainment. Yes. That has just not let up.
That was one of the comments I was going to make earlier. Oh. Remember, this movie is pre-MCU.
Exactly. It's, yeah. Everything has, yeah, changed.
They all graduated. Now they're out there doing the thing.
And now we want comic book movies that feel believable at some level. We want suspension of disbelief to be a thing. So when they made this movie, that still wasn't a thing. You know, I don't know if that would have mattered, obviously, given the kind of movie it is, because it's supposed to be silly.
But before Marvel reinvented the comic book movie industry, superhero movies, comic movies generally flopped. So this was kind of a daring run to do, taking on this project in the first place. And I think that might have been why they really went for more the comedic kind of element, because that was kind of what you expected. If they had tried to make it a more serious thing, I don't think it would have been successful at all.
There was a Galaxy High cartoon I remember watching too, in the 90s, I think it was, that had the theme of a sci-fi style high school, but only certain kids went to or something. And I just remember feeling like that type of thing really appealed to me at some level. I could understand where the producers are coming from. But
maybe that's what my brain kept mixing the animation with.
Well, that could be something like that. Mm. Vanessa, what do you got?
excuse me. For my thumbs up, I got it's a cute coming-of-age story that hit a lot of the good feel-good points that you get in good coming-of-age stories, and it had a comic book feel, which catches my interest anyways, because comic book movies are fun. Superhero effects worked well most of the time. My thumbs down is sometimes they didn't work. When they worked, they were great. When they didn't work, they really didn't work to the point of immersion breaking.
Yeah, good examples?
Good examples? When Jetstream threw Commander and he did the up flip and the down, and that he's not a flyer. How did he up at all?
I love the whole solving the robot attack in the city thing was just kind of like we throw the Commander at it and just...
Pretty much.
Just done.
One hit.
He's so strong, he kicked the air and bounced off it.
Totally how that works. Totally how that works. And then anytime that they had, like, the hero landing, everything was, like, broken up in squares. But that was kind of also kind of a nod to comic book landings, because that's how they animate it there, is everything's in squares. I liked it and didn't like it at the same time.
Interesting.
It made sense on the gym floor because it was all the little panels.
Yeah, but it didn't make sense on the robot.
Yeah, I liked there.
But it didn't make sense on the robot, and it didn't make sense on the solid concrete warehouse.
And the robot looked so bad. I mean, all that was so intentional. The robot looked right. So comedically bad. Very comic booky.
The problem is they keep breaking the Matrix. It can only handle so much movement.
Glitch of the Matrix.
I had the same problem with Larry, to be honest.
Yeah, I can see that.
Fair enough. Fair enough. My overall rating is 4. It was going to be 3.5, but Ron Wilson, bus driver, brought it up that half tick.
Right? He's
Ron
awesome!
Ron Wilson!
Bus driver.
You were my hope, Vanessa.
Okay, Jay, you what were do you my got, hope. Man?
I thought I wasn't going to be completely alone on the negative side.
I'm sorry.
You know what, though? As much as you feel that, let me remind you. Your opinions are not only valid, but strongly appreciated on this show. We do not in any way think...
Glad.
Just because they diverge so strongly from ours that they are in any way less valid. And we love to hear what you think.
Part of this in movie fact, also has a nostalgia filter for me because I was in high school when this came out and I saw it in theaters.
I do not have that excuse.
I do.
I saw it in theaters. I did see it in theaters.
I don't need that excuse.
I don't think I did.
I remember going to it. And I actually think I made it a double day. I watched Charlie and the Chocolate Factory the same day.
I might have also, right. Actually. It wouldn't surprise me.
Awesome.
Thumbs up. It's pretty. It's fun. It looks really good. It really does. I love the
animation.
Everybody
get that on your bingo, by the way? Your Jason bingo. It's pretty.
It's pretty.
Thumbs up bingo.
I do. That is one of the things that I find.
Sorry. I thought that was the free square.
I was having a conversation about how I wish that I could have 2 ratings.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I get you.
Because if I was just wanting to shut my head down, not think about anything, and watch pretty colors and fun, happy little moments, and eat popcorn the whole time, this movie is a 4 to 5 stars. It is so great. It is one of the greatest stupid, bad movies I've watched in a long, 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 long time. But if I'm watching a movie to say, man, that was a good movie, this is a shite movie. Oh, it's so bad. The story is horrible. The people are horrible. The plots have giant holes in them, and the physics is angering.
Holes you can fly a bus through.
Oh,
nice.
Oh, that's one. That's actually one of them.
Fly the bus.
The only person authorized to fly to transport superheroes is me, Ron Wilson, bus driver. Then why are there 6 buses on campus?
Have you seen the way they destroy property?
There's only a few flyers. Even then, there's not enough buses for all the kids. Are their parents dropping them off? This highly secret location? The thing's not cloaked. It would cast a shadow. Everyone on the planet would know where this thing is.
Even though it moves around. They mentioned that, remember? It moves around.
Well, it moves around. You would follow the black dot on the planet. I've watched clouds go over the sun and watched the ground and go, ooh, look, there's the edge of the cloud. Light here, no light there. Ooh, look.
Now you still love doing that.
So many things. my other problem is the fact that they make some physics work, like the pool scene where he goes too much force at once and the pool stick goes through the cue ball.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And that obviously happens a lot because he has a bucket full of cue balls with holes in them.
Right.
And when he gets so mad and he types the phone too hard and he crushes the
cordless
phone, which obviously happens a lot because he just opened the drawer and has seven of them pre-programmed and ready to go. These are things that exist in their physics-y world. But when the sky is falling and he goes from beneath and goes to push it up, he should have been like the cue stick on the cue ball and gone boop. But no, he's now being pushed against it. And then when he's pressing the roof and the building and he's standing on the roof.
I want to know what those roof struts are made out of.
What is that house made of?
Oh, dude.
That not a single shingle broke.
When they said we should have had insurance, you know that you expected. Here, the scene I expected
should have been gone.
The scene that I expected was the thing fell and he caught it right in time. And then when he takes off, the back blast from taking off, something like he taps the roof and the whole Chino building falls or something.
That would have been
that was what I expected.
And kind of and better physics-y.
And it was probably Stronghold Realty on the sign, right?
It was.
I'm just making sure.
Verified.
So many things that just angered me and took me out of the ability to enjoy it because I was thinking about it. I didn't turn my brain off before I hit play. Therefore, I can't give it 4 stars. I have to give it 2.
So were you, just out of curiosity then, were you, when you said something about, you know, enjoying it, you know, how, you know, shutting your brain off, do you feel like you were watching it specifically that way for the show? Or do you think you've gotten to the point in your life where that's how you watch a movie? It would have bugged you anyway. Do you have any context?
Perfectly honest, the closest thing to context I have is one of my favorite movies that I have watched dozens, if not hundreds of times, is Little Shop of Horrors.
Listeners, that says a lot about Jason.
I went and watched The Little Shop of Horrors at the drive-in a couple months ago after we started the podcast. And I was watching it, and I was there, and I was in the theater, in my car at the theater. Vanessa was there, too. Not with me, but
yeah,
right.
A few rows away. Yes. And I'm watching this movie and I'm going, I love this movie and it's so great. And oh no. Oh, wait. No. That's bad. Oh, really? Oh, God. I may be broken now.
Because I think
I'm watching movies in a way that I never had before.
I think it's fair to recognize that, too. And to realize that there may be times you go into watching a movie where that's just not who you want to be.
Eric did this to you. Point.
But yeah, I think I want the listeners to appreciate how much sacrifice how much we're sacrificing for
but
them.
But I can admit that I am not one. You know, again, like I make jokes, you know, Vanessa, you were my only hope. But at the same time, her opinion is just as valid as everybody else's. I'm not saying that their 4s are wrong. In fact, I kind of wish I could give it a 4 on that popcorn scale because it was a silly, fun haha, if you're willing to turn off the problems with physics, if you're willing to turn off the plot hole issues, if you're willing to turn all of those things off, this was a damn fine film. But there were so many of those things that I just couldn't look past that I couldn't even give it a positive ranking. It had to go on to the this is a bad movie side. 2 stars.
I get you. And I do.
But it's not one of the
worst.
It wasn't. I'm not upset that I watched it, and I would if it was in the same place again, not walk out of the room if it was playing.
I like that. You know, wow. What a line to draw. I have to admit, I kind of find your revelation on that interesting too. The whole, I wish I could had like 2 ratings because in a way, when I said, I feel you, it's like, in a way I feel kind of similar because I know that I can relate to a lot of the things that you particularly tend to be critical about. And you and I have talked to movies for years and we have a lot of the same experiences. We don't disagree on a lot of the points. We just, it's a question of whether or not it's something that bothers you about the movie or doesn't bother me. You know, a lot of the time, sometimes we see the same flaws and I'm sitting here going, and that isn't an issue, you know, which is funny because I have that problem with other things, but with movies, not an issue. And I wish sometimes I feel bad if I was doing the same thing you guys are doing, thumbs up, thumbs down. I give the same litany of thumbs down and go 5 stars. Kit, what do you got?
Well, geez, after all of that, now I don't even want to say anything.
Oh, we're fine. If it's really bad, I'll just cut it out.
It's really simple. I'll make this short and sweet. Thumbs down. I have to severely critique this school's educational program because apparently after having gone all the way through high school to graduation twice, Gwen still has never studied nature versus nurture because she obviously believes her plan will work. So, thumbs up. I absolutely loved, I mentioned it already, I absolutely loved Magenta. She was an awesome character. She failed, fell short of being my favorite character ever so slightly because War and Peace was just so cool.
Awesome.
But Magenta with her little guinea pig. Actually, I have to go back to my thumbs down, though, because a real guinea pig would have chewed through that wire in 2 seconds flat. Ask me how I know. Overall
Don't
rating.
You know Gwen thought of that and put anti-guinea pig wrapping?
No, because she completely ignored the sidekick. She made no accommodation for the sidekicks whatsoever. She
Sorry,
did
I
nothing,
tried.
Nothing to protect herself from
Sorry,
the sidekicks.
Sorry, I tried.
But I appreciate the noble effort. Overall rating, 4 stars.
What'd your wife give it, by the way?
Okay, my wife gave it 1.5 stars. And actually, this is a funny story. We finished the movie and I'm all giddy and happy and I'm excited. And I look over and I'm like, what do you think? 5 stars? And she gives me the look. She gives me the look and she says, I would rather jump off that flying island. And I said, 4.5 stars? She would rather watch Twilight all than right. have to watch this movie again.
Oh, my.
She gave it 1.5 stars.
Hey, Rich.
Yeah.
I give this 5 stars. What do we got?
Oh, okay. Well, that makes it easy because I already had you down for 5.
Thank you.
So that brings us around to 3.75 stars. That puts us in the same zone as Starship Troopers and National Treasure.
That is exactly where this movie belongs.
Wow. Well, this is exactly the box where this movie
wow,
belongs.
Wow, it kind of is.
Yeah.
I really feel that.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thank you
no
so
denying.
Much.
Jason, we couldn't have done it without you.
That was a good one. That was fun, guys. What do we got? What do we got for next week, Vanessa? What
I
are we doing next week? Has anybody take a look at the Twitch feed and see if anybody is there anything, any comments anybody made that we want to?
Oh, like, there were a couple of good comments.
Bring up
there.
Before we take out. What are you gonna say, Rich? You really your mic's been
fingers. Three Musketeers was our next movie.
Oh, I got you. Oh, thanks.
The Disney version.
Disney, yeah.
Disney's Three Musketeers. So that'll be on Disney Plus. I hope it's
cool.
On Disney Plus.
It should be.
And that's that's one I'm really kind of curious to watch again. I haven't seen it in a lot of years, and I loved it so much in the theater when it came out that I went and saw it like 3 times. I almost never do that with movies. I just love good adventure movies, and I loved Kiefer Sutherland, and Charlie Sheen at the time was so cool, and Oliver Platt, and Chris O'Donnell.
And Tim Curry.
God, I lost his name now. The dude that yes. was Rochefort. Just great cast. I'm looking forward to talking about it because I think it's going to be a fun movie.
I've never
discuss.
Seen any Three Musketeers movie, so this ought to be interesting.
Oh, well, that's cool because you know the concept, obviously. And the fun thing is that if you've never seen any of the movies, you probably don't realize what the story is actually about, which is kind of interesting because it's really kind of a silly story. Not stupid, just ridiculous that they're in the situation.
Fair enough.
So there you go. And Rebecca De Mornay. I liked her too. She was good. So that's that. Any comments or tweet we want to talk about before I get out of here? Anything worth mentioning? Anybody?
Scrolling back through to see. Oh yeah, I had to refresh Twitch. I don't know because my Twitch has a very low history right now.
Oh, and don't worry about it then.
Twitchers, stick around if you're interested because this had a record-breaking number of tweets. 74 tweets in 100 minutes.
Remember, we got a game today, so. I'm going to go ahead and get out of here. Thank you so much for joining us for Exposition Street, episode 21. We'll see you next week. Make sure you watch the movie before that happens. For Rich, for Vanessa, for Jason, for the kid. My name is Eric. Let us know what you think. Feedback at prismaticsunami.com. That's the way to reach us to join us on our Discord channel. We'll see you next week, guys. Have a good one.